Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. Still to come, Dale Jackson in about an hour. AL6 Republican hopeful Derek Wilkins in the 11 o'clock hour. And Kimberly Cook, wife of Alabama Supreme Court Justice Greg Cook, is going to be with us calling in from Iowa. If you're so interested, real quick, y'all heard me talking about this in the last segment, but just a reminder, the MECREC, Mobile County Republican Executive Committee candidate forum tonight. Here are the specifics. Mobile Marriott Ballroom. It's at 3101 Airport Boulevard. At 5 to 6 is the meet and greet, and the forum starts at 6 PM. Maybe, hopefully, some of you can make it out. Looks like we got two congressional races. Candidates will be there. Both Supreme Court justice candidates. A number of criminal and civil appeals court candidates. We got locally circuit court, district court judges. Mobile County Commissioner District 2 candidates will be there. And then, let's see, license commissioner, circuit clerk, and District 1, Mobile County School Board. So that's at the Marriott tonight, starting at 5 p.m. Those are the specifics if you're interested in that. All right, let's get to our next guest. Always a pleasure to bring on my friend, State Representative Shane Stringer is with us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing great, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for coming on. Well, we're gearing up here. I know you're just chomping at the bit to get back to Montgomery. Yeah.
It's
going to
be interesting.
Interesting is a nice way of putting it. I guess everybody's kind of caught up in the gambling discussion. Is that, you really see that leading the way? Is that going to, what looks like is going to be front and center first off? Or are we gonna have to wait a little bit deeper into the session to start seeing some action on that?
It's hard to say, but I mean, personally, I would expect it to come up probably near the beginning of the session and go ahead and tackle it and see what we can do with it. You know, we've brought it up every year that I've been there. So I think this year it has more of an option or more of an opportunity to come up and maybe even get out. You know, I know the constituents in my district want to vote on it. And, you know, I think it's time that we give them that option.
Well, and what I can't get a read on now, I mean, I spent time at Lee kind of going through the Senate, but there's only 35 members upstairs. It's hard to get a read on where you guys are downstairs. And I got to get you to talk about that. I mean, do you think there is the appetite, especially with all these new members? Now, Speaker Ledbetter's proven success. He's been successful in getting votes. That first year, do you think it's going to be, do you think there's that possibility, or, you know, do you see a path forward in the House?
It's hard to say. I've not really, you know, got to know a lot of the new members yet and kind of get a feel for them and you know, their, I guess their priorities or whatever. But, you know, I think the speaker and leadership's been meeting with the new members and just kind of going over and briefing them on everything and trying to get them up to speed and where things have been and where they're going with the gaming. And so I think they'll have a good opinion. I guess at the end of the day, it'll come back to what their constituents want in their areas. You know, I think a lot of them are going to be open to the idea from the ones that I've spoken to, but you know, it's really hard to say until we get in there. You know, after this session, I'll have probably a better idea and kind of get to know a lot of the new members and get a feel for where they stand and you know, kind of what they are looking at.
Where are you on it these days? Do you have strong feelings on it, or are you just kind of wait and see?
I want to see the bill first. You know, that's always a priority for me. You want to read and kind of see what the bill is, where the money goes, and you know, what all is involved in it to make sure that we're not, I guess, favoring one area of the state over the other. You know, down here on the south end of the state, I feel like we get left out a little bit sometimes. So, you know, as you know, I deal with this Highway 45 issue, and I've been dealing with that since I've been there. And you know, they're paving 4-lane and roads all over the state, haven't been able to accomplish much with 45. So I want to stand up, make sure that our district's getting representative, and not just my district, but South Alabama, and make sure we're not getting left out.
Well, and then I don't think there's any appetite on my side of the bay for casino gambling anywhere within Baldwin County. I mean, there's a good possibility, especially out there at the dog track, of having something, some sort of casino gaming in Mobile County. What's your read of the temperature there? Do you think people would want a casino in Mobile County anywhere?
Yeah, I think they would. You know, I think that it would probably potentially help generate some new economic growth in Mobile or South Mobile County. You know, I have spoken with the representatives from Baldwin County, and they have, you know, and then even my constituents in North Baldwin, and they've told me that they're not interested in a casino in Baldwin County. You know, they're already overcrowded and everything with our beaches and the summer traffic and everything that we're already dealing with. So I definitely understand and get where they're coming from, but there are areas in the state that probably could use this and potentially help, you know, spawn some growth in their areas.
Well, it's a unique kind of economic growth, and it's just not something for everybody, right? That some places in Alabama would welcome it with open arms, and then you have, I think, a handful of places are very not in my backyard. Stay away. We don't really want the kind of, you know, blight or whatever that casino gaming might bring to your community.
And that's exactly right. That's, you know, like, you know, I've heard constituents and, you know, in Baldwin County, and they're like, man, we can't even hardly go to a store. It's so crowded over here now. We definitely don't need that or want that in our area. So, you know, that's an option, you know, where on the opposite side, on North Mobile County, West Mobile, they are interested in it and do want a chance to vote on it. So, you know, I think that's, at the end of the day, that's what we should do is give the citizens the option to vote on it. And if they choose to pass it, then so be it. If they choose not to, then they'll get what they want.
Well, and maybe, you know, for our listeners, they hear me go on and on and on about it, but it is a 3/5 majority, right? And that's not as necessarily easily attainable, that there's going to have to be some horse trading or it's going to take at least some Democrats to go along with Republican leadership if this is what they want, right?
Absolutely. You know, and I wouldn't be surprised if leadership and the governor and no telling who else is probably already meeting with the Democrats trying to work out something to gain some support on that side of the aisle if they want this passed. But I have not seen or heard that, but, you know, that's just the way the game works.
Joined by State Representative Shane Stringer here on the program. Representative, and talking to some of your colleagues, maybe more of the conservative variety, if you will, they think that there's a possibility that they may try to get Democrats to come on board. They may try to sneak in and maybe not call it this outright, but some kind of Medicaid expansion or whatever it may be. But are they gonna? Do you worry about that? Do you worry about it, that the powers that be wanting gambling done, that they're willing to add some sweeteners that may not necessarily be traditional Republican policy?
Absolutely. And that's why we say the devil's in the details. You know, you want to read the bill, you want to see the bill before you commit to vote on something, because, you know, who knows what could be put in it. You know, so it's always smart to read a bill and kind of go over it and go through it and see what you're looking at, and even other bills that are surrounding the session, just to kind of see what we are looking at and make sure that you're not committing to something like that. So, you know, it's I'm sure anything and everything will be discussed in surrounding this, and you know, there'll be a lot of negotiations and everything, like with every bill. You know, it's you know, my constitution carry bill, the permitless carry bill, we had to work hard to make that happen. And, you know, there were some sacrifices in there, but at the end of the day, you know, we came out with a good bill. So, you know, I think that, there'll be a lot of talks and, you know, who knows what we'll see, but we'll just have to address that as it comes up, during the session.
And, I just, want to mention that you mentioned your constitutional carry bill. Here we are, some years into it here. It's not, we haven't gone down the path of, cats sleeping with dogs, end times and all the doom and gloom, that was suggested that would happen when you pass this thing by some. It does seem as if, it's pretty much the status quo. At least that's my read on it. What are you hearing about the end result of constitutional carry in Alabama?
It is just what we've said it was. It was not going to be any major changes. You know, like I've told everybody, I did my due diligence and did my homework before I carried this bill and sponsored it and spoke to sheriffs all over the country that had this legislation and law in place, and nothing major happened across the country. And it is the same here. You know, Alabama is the only state that stepped up and put some revenue in place to help the sheriffs and the counties out to deal with that. You know, but it just absolutely was not, you know, I don't know if there was just a false narrative being put out during that time by certain ones, or if that was truly their opinion. But, we've seen, you know, that crime has not gone out of control and things are basically no different than they were before.
Well, and I would ask you this, it also hasn't like bankrupted a lot of sheriff's offices around the state either, has it?
It absolutely has not, you know, and like I said, Alabama, of course, you know, you listen to some of the sheriffs, they'll tell you that it has, but, you know, if they can prove their numbers, I can guarantee you they have not. But at the end of the day, you know, as we've said before, it is not the state legislature's job to support the sheriff's departments and fund the sheriff's departments. It is also not the law-abiding taxpayers that own guns' responsibility to support the sheriff's departments. And, you know, the legislature has been telling the sheriffs for years, many, many years, that they needed to get their finances in order and address that at some point this bill was coming and they were going to have to, you know, find other avenues for revenue to support certain issues.
Well, that's my read on it exactly. It just, I think it's pretty clear what was going on there. Why did down here, Representative, talking about constitutional carry, are you personally pushing, I mean, what's going to be your big objective this session? Do you have anything that you're really getting behind?
I don't have any, you know, pressing bills that I'm looking at. I do have a few things I'm going to be taking care of. But, you know, right now I'm just kind of looking at the session, seeing what other bills are being brought. And, you know, I think we need to do something with our election integrity just to make sure that we keep that in place. And Secretary of State Wes Allen's brought a good bill to us last year, so I'm hoping that maybe we can try to push that through. You know, I'd like to see us put a good, strong school choice bill in place, and I hear that's a possibility. So, you know, looking at that, and then, you know, just trying to make sure that we're pumping out some good red meat Republican bills this session.
Well, because I was thinking the Kill Bill ballot harvesting, I mean, that's going to have to go pretty early, right? Because you have to have a 6-month window between a general election or any election for that matter and whatever changes you want to institute in the election system. And the other one, I think, is the Oliver bill with the divisive concepts. Those seem like two pretty standard issue layup type pieces of legislation.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that both of those come up. Both of those guys have worked really hard to put together some good legislation and a good bill. So no reason that we can't try to come out and address it and see what we can do with it.
Yeah, I guess the struggle is not maybe not necessarily the guys in your chamber, but as it goes sometimes upstairs, you have to wait and see what the Senate does on some of these things.
Yeah, it goes back and forth. You know, there's been certain bills that have been killed, you know, predominantly in the House, and then, you know, there's some in the Senate. And, you know, it seemed that the Senate passed the Constitution carry bill every year, and then the House killed it. So the last time that when we passed it, we got it out and then eventually got it through the Senate. So after working with them, so.
Well, let me add one more thing here, and this is just my observation, having watched the legislature, you know, over the last 6 or 7 years, but the transition from Speaker McCutcheon to Speaker Ledbetter, it does seem as if under Ledbetter, things kind of operate more on time, on schedule, and a lot more. Now, McCutcheon just had a different style, I guess, especially coming out of Hubbard, but that it is certainly a different operating practice underway in the House.
Yeah, it's different. You know, I think McCutcheon's tried to accommodate and tried to appease everybody and give them a piece of time to speak with him about different issues. And that created some time management issues within the House. And, you know, I think coming into the Speaker's election, that was probably one of the main issues or the main topics that, you know, people would talk with the different candidates that were running for Speaker. And, you know, so far since Speaker Ledbetter's came out, that's exactly what he's done. He's kept us on time and really done awesome with the time management aspect of it and keeping us very efficient so far.
Representative, we got to leave it there, but always appreciate our visits, and we'll do this again in a couple of weeks.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. State Representative Shane Stringer there. I get to hear him every other Monday on this program. Next week we'll have Jennifer Fiddler. And so you want to tune in for that. But we got to get a break in here. We will be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.